Great. Hi, everyone. My name is Andrew Friedman, and this talk is about site mailboxes in Exchange and SharePoint. If you intended to come attend a different talk, either it's your destiny to attend the site mailboxes talk, or now is a perfectly acceptable time to sneak out and go ahead to the other talk. But today, I hope to tell you about site mailboxes, to give you an overview of what they can do for users and for your organization, and to leave you with some information about how they work and what you'll need to know at a high level so that you can understand whether they're right for you. As I mentioned a couple minutes ago, I will be taking questions during the presentation. There are all sorts of lights pointed at me, so I apologize if I don't see your hand right away. But I'll take questions, and as long as I can answer them pretty quickly, then I'm happy to take them during the talk. And otherwise, I'm happy to stick around in the hallway afterwards if I don't get to your question or if it's one that takes a little bit longer to answer. So let's go ahead and get started. So I actually wanted to start with some takeaways about site mailboxes. These are the things that we on the site mailboxes team think that you should know in order to assess whether they're valuable for your organization or not. So site mailboxes are designed for project teams. That means a relatively small number of people, maybe 5 to 10 is typically what we look at, who are working together on a shared set of deliverables or responsibilities. One other thing that's neat about site mailboxes is they really start to bridge the gap between documents and conversations. And this is just a simple bullet. It's easy to gloss over, but we've actually heard from a number of customers over the last couple of years that there's this artificial divide between conversations and documents. And while we sell Microsoft Exchange and while we sell SharePoint, and it makes sense from that perspective, when users are actually working on projects, they're having a whole bunch of conversations, and those translate into deliverables in the form of documents. And the documents need revisions, which transfer into conversations that that help teams understand how they're going to go about executing on those deliverables. So this is with site mailboxes, we believe that we've headed down the right path towards bridging the gap between the silos of messages and documents. Another important step that we took for end users is allowing site mailboxes to be provisioned by end users. This means that as soon as they see the next project on the horizon, they can provision the right resources so that they have it from the get-go. They can start putting the content there right away and ensure that from day one, everyone who's working with them has access to the content that they need. Now, that's a big step because this is the first time that from Exchange users can provision their own resources. So with that, we've also included some policies that will allow administrators to configure how and where these site mailboxes and the SharePoint sites that go along with them can be created. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the talk. But one of the key policies that I'm referencing here is actually the lifecycle policy. And from some of our discussions with customers who have used public folders over the years, one of the key problems that they faced is what one customer called the Wild Wild West problem, where initially things are created and they're heavily used, but eventually they're abandoned over time. And when they're abandoned, it's very difficult for anyone in the organization to tell whether they're in fact abandoned or whether there may be one or more users still using it. So those resources end up living on indefinitely. With the lifecycle policy, as we'll see later, you actually get the ability to enforce users to act if they're still using the site mailbox and the site it's corresponding to after a certain period of time. And the other thing that we want to call out is that actually the easiest experience, if you want to get started with site mailboxes, is in Office 365. In fact, all of the demos that I'll show today are with a trial tenant in Office 365. One other piece of information that will be valuable as you're assessing site mailboxes and thinking through the questions that you'll need to answer is, when are site mailboxes the right tool? Sometimes those of us who get excited about technology feel like we have a hammer and everything starts to look like a nail. And so one of the things that we wanted to provide is some information about, for the intent of site mailboxes, what actually is a nail. So site mailboxes are intended to target teams, as I mentioned before, that are working through deliverables as part of a small project crew. It's best when they have to work on documents together and when there's also expected to be conversations and when they want the resources that they'll need to collaborate and co-author simultaneously. This is different than shared mailbox scenarios, which in fact we had a good discussion about yesterday with some folks who stopped by the office and exchange booths. And shared mailboxes, as you may know, are primarily used for serving as a virtual entity. So many companies have something such as support@contoso.com or benefits@contoso.com that allows 5 or 6 users or more to all respond to mail that ends up being received at a certain address, but all respond as that single entity. They don't heavily use document collaboration as part of that experience. The primary goal is for all of them to seem like one single entity. Then there's public folders. Public folders are somewhat of a library for your organization. Unlike site and shared mailboxes, they don't have a concept of membership. So they're available by default to the entire organization, and users can browse through the hierarchy to find the information that's interesting to them. Last on the list, we have distribution lists. Distribution lists are actually a little bit different than each of the other features that I've talked about so far, because unlike the other three, they don't have their own storage. So messages that are sent to these distribution lists are not automatically saved anywhere. The distribution lists often come up in the conversations around collaborating and communicating with others, so it's important to consider them in this landscape. And the real key scenario for distribution lists is when you or your users want to push information into the mailboxes of the recipients. This is the only feature that allows you to actually ensure that something will land in a user's mailbox. Of course, there's a caveat there that we all probably know about inbox rules, and users can do wonderful things with those. But this is the only feature that actually directs something to the user's mailboxes. So I will now start to show you actually what the site mailboxes experience is like in Outlook. I'll give you a brief overview of what the rest of the talk will look like so that you can ask questions when you feel they're most appropriate. This particular demo is going to show you what site mailboxes look like in Outlook, what you get when you get a site mailbox, and also what the benefit is of actually using site mailboxes for your messages and your documents. The next section will be about how users can create the site mailboxes along with the SharePoint sites that they belong with, and also the administrator policy that can be set to require lifecycle policies associated with the site and the site mailbox. Then finally, we'll take a look at the end user diagnostics that are available to end users to help them understand if something goes wrong and to help them pass the right information on to their administrator should that be necessary. So those are the three main sections of demos that we'll go through today. And unlike most of those stunt shows where they say, please don't try this at home, I heavily encourage you to try this at home or today or tomorrow. And I'll be at the tech ed booth at either Office or Exchange at 4 p.m. tomorrow on Friday. So if you try it between now and then and have some questions, feel free to come ask me. Oops, getting ahead of myself. So step one is to log on. Since my session timed out. There we go. Great. So what you see now is my Outlook 2013 Pro Plus experience. Here at the top left, you can see my primary mailbox. Just like previous versions of Outlook, I have everything that I expect. I have my inbox, I have my sent items, I have my deleted items, and these should be unread for the purposes of my demo, so I'm going to quickly fix that. So alongside, in my left-hand navigation, underneath my primary mailbox, you'll see that I have site mailboxes. These are all top-level nodes. Each one corresponds to a site mailbox and has an association with a SharePoint site. If I expand a particular site mailbox, for example, Q3 analyst briefing, I see that each site mailbox has an inbox and a documents folder. As we'll find out later, there can actually be more than one documents folder if the SharePoint site has multiple document libraries. I'll touch more on that later in the presentation. But what's valuable now is to show you that here in the inbox of the site mailbox, we can see all of the items that have been sent to that site mailbox's email address. And here in the documents of that site mailbox, we can see all of the documents that are on the SharePoint site that it's connected to. And I'll mention this a couple times because this is important and we often get a lot of questions on this. But these are actually a list of links, essentially, to those documents. And the document content is not saved in Outlook itself. So as we'll see from the documents section, I can double-click on a document, and it will open right from the SharePoint server. While that's loading, there are a couple other things that I can do now that I have site mailboxes in my navigation. For one, I can right-click on the Documents folder, and I can choose to show it in my favorites. And now you can see here that it's easily accessible in my favorites, and you can also see that the per-user read-unread number goes with it. So as there's new activity in the documents on the SharePoint site, I will see the number increment as new items are added or new modifications are made. Additionally, from anywhere that I can see the Documents folder, I can right-click on that Documents folder and choose to open it in the web browser. And that's going to take me to the site that's associated with the site mailbox. So I can easily get back and forth between the two. What you'll also see if I can resize the window. Not quite ready for that. What you'll also see is that the list of documents is the same, whether you're looking at it from SharePoint or whether you're looking at it from Outlook. So that means whether you are someone who spends most of your day in Outlook, like the users at many of our customers' organizations, or whether you're someone who prefers the flexibility of SharePoint, you can see the entire set of content from wherever you happen to be working. And I'll also quickly point out that here you can see that we do show the subfolders of the document library in Outlook as well. Now, we had double-clicked on the website mockups. That did open up. And if I go to the file menu, you can see that it's actually loading that directly against the SharePoint server from the site that the site mailbox is connected to. So that's a little bit about how site mailboxes actually show up. And I think we've got a question.
Can you create subfolders in the
inbox? Yes. So the question was, can you create subfolders in the inbox of the site mailbox? And the answer is yes. Users can create subfolders within the inbox. So one of the other things that I want to show about the navigation of site mailboxes is what happens when I no longer need a project? What happens if I don't need to check financial year 2012 planning anymore? Well, I can actually right-click on that, simply say close, and it disappears from my navigation, freeing up that space so that I can focus better or so that I can, at some point, put other site mailboxes into my view. Now, whenever we show this, people's first question seems to be, what happens if I actually want that back? Or what happens if I want another site mailbox instead? And we have you in good shape there as well. If you simply go to your primary mailbox, you'll see in the context menu a Manage All Site Mailboxes menu item. And if you click on that, it will take you to an OWA options page where the user can choose which site mailboxes are shown in Outlook. Internally, we tend to call this pinned. So here I have a number of site mailboxes pinned, and if I wanted to, I could choose to pin any of the others that are unpinned. There is a maximum of 10 site mailboxes because our research shows that the experience degrades after we have more than 10. Users have trouble using Outlook to effectively focus on the tasks at hand. So when users reach the maximum of 10, they have the ability to always switch out which ones they're looking at, but they will be only able to pin 10. The one other thing that I'll mention here is if someone else creates a site mailbox and adds you to it, it will show up in your Outlook navigation so that you can see it and begin to become familiar with the contents as long as you're under that limit of 10. If you're at the limit of 10, then you will have to switch it out on your own. Great. So that's a high-level overview of how site mailboxes will show up inside Outlook 2013 Pro Plus. Now let's take a look at why they're valuable and what you can do with them that we think makes them worthwhile. So here's my mailbox. It's a typical day. I've got a bunch of mail to triage. So let's go through it and see what happens. This mail's from Miguel. We work on a lot of collaborative features together. And this doesn't have anything particularly to do with what I need to accomplish today. But honeybees and the waggle dance are fascinating. And I encourage you all to check this out later. In the meantime, like I do many emails, I will file it, or in this case, I'm going to go ahead and delete that. Then I get to this first important email that's from Alphonse, my teammate. And he's sharing the deck with me that we want to share with the whole team. So, you know, before I might have forwarded it or responded and included everyone on the team, on the to line, or had to use a distribution group. But now, I can actually just drag and drop that into the appropriate site mailbox. So here I am in my mailbox. I'm dragging and dropping this into the inbox of the Contoso admin team. And actually, I apologize. I meant to do that to the Corp strategy team. So I will now drag it there, which is its intended location. And if I go to the Corp strategy team, you can see that the mail shows there just as I would expect it to. So the benefit that you're getting here is that all of the Outlook drag and drop functionality that you've come to expect continues to work for site mailboxes. Now if I go back to my own inbox, I continue to triage. Here's another email where I'm working with Alphonse. And we have some action items below that we need to get done. Alphonse has agreed that he can take on some of them, but asked me to make sure that the team knows about our latest plan. This one happens to be related to a Q3 analyst briefing project that I'm working on. So I'm actually just going to reply to Alphonse, but I'm going to CC the Q3 analyst briefing site mailbox. And simply by adding it as a recipient, if we wait long enough for the connection to catch up, we should see, there we go. We see that I've now included the team. And theoretically, I could have easily added a message that said, here's an update, here's what you need to know, here are the action items. All right, good day, I'm feeling productive. So now that I've responded to that and it's in the team space, my personal styles, I'll go ahead and delete it from my space. And I see this troubling message from Miguel. And you might ask, why is this a troubling message? Well, Miguel sometimes works with me on documents where we revise PowerPoint decks together. And I find it incredibly frustrating every time I work really hard to add a bunch of edits, but he also gets edits from 5 other people and has to do the contortions to merge all of the changes. Occasionally, some of the changes that I've provided actually get lost in that process. So I'm going to actually use this, now that we have site mailboxes, as an educational moment for Miguel. And I'm just going to take this attachment from his email. It's a Q3 analyst briefing attachment. So I'm just going to drag and drop it into the documents folder. And you'll see that we've actually started the upload process of uploading this document to the site mailbox. Right now, you can see it at the top. It's in gray and italics. That's because it's in pending mode. So right now, we've actually put it in the Outlook profile. Outlook will turn around and give that to Exchange. When Exchange gets it, it's uploading it to the SharePoint site. And when it successfully uploads, it will then pop back to the top as an unread item. Once it uploads to SharePoint, we actually are no longer keeping any of the content in Exchange. And that's in line with our design principle of only having the metadata and the links. That allows us to make sure that when I edit this document, now that it's been uploaded, all of my changes and comments that I might add will actually happen directly against the server. And in this case, I'm not seeing that. Always something to throw you a little bit in a demo. We can come back to that later and see if that is behaving a little bit better. But in most cases, you'll see that it's actually directly against the server, and you get the benefits of the SharePoint server's versioning, co-authoring, and other collaborative capabilities. So we've now actually nearly finished the triage that I need to do for today. There's one other thing. I'm going to go ahead and delete this too, get closer to a zero inbox. There's one other thing that I probably need to triage before I move on to other items, and that's this other email from Alphonse. This is actually a really important summary of our contractual agreement, and Alphonse has told me about a case number that we have with legal that we need to keep as a record. So I'm going to take this document, and first let me actually say, this is a little bit different because, yes, it could remain in our conversations, but many of our customers actually tell us that they want to terminate a conversation or even kill the conversation. They want to take the current state of the conversation and save it as a record. And some of our customers have even gone so far as to print out the email and then scan it back into their systems so that they have a permanent record that can't be changed. So we make that a little bit easier with site mailboxes by allowing you to drag and drop this into the documents folder. So I've now dragged and dropped it into the documents folder. Here you can see that, again, it's in pending mode, so it's uploading behind the scenes to the SharePoint server. And when it's done, we'll actually see that it's landed on the SharePoint site, and I can access it from the SharePoint site. There we go. So now I'm going to use the trick that I showed you earlier of going to open in web browser after right-clicking on the documents folder. And let's actually go to the full document library. Great. So here you see the message that we just dragged and dropped into the site mailbox documents folder. So now it's treated like a document, which is more of a record. But there's one more step that I can take, actually, to make sure that it's treated like a record. I can select this particular document, and using the ribbon, I can actually declare this as a record. And if I sort again by modified date, you can see that now there's a lock icon on the email message. So this is now a record, which makes it easier to manage centrally or in place as part of my company's compliance efforts. Yes, there's a question. Can it be done from Outlook? Is that the question? The question was, can I make something a record from Outlook? And the answer is no. We decided to include the key set of basic functionality in Outlook, and for everything else, rather than rebuild it inside of Outlook, we give users that easy entry point to go to the SharePoint site where they have the flexibility and configuration options that SharePoint answers or offers. I see a question way in the back. So the email, the question, I believe, correct me if I got it wrong, what I heard was, what's the experience when you drag and drop emails, and is that consistent with the rest of the experience in Outlook? In conversation view. So if you drag and drop a conversation into the site mailbox inbox, then it would preserve the conversation. If you drag and drop a message into the documents folder, it will not preserve the conversation. It will treat each message as its own document. And in reverse order, to simply repeat the question for those who may not have been able to hear it and for the recording, the question was, what is the behavior for conversations that are dragged and dropped using Outlook? Great. So we've now taken a look. Oh, we have one more question. Okay. The question was, if you have a message that you want to put into the documents folder, can you still keep a copy of that message in the original folder? And by default, the behavior is that the message is moved into the target folder, but the same right-click or control options and the same UI options are available for users to choose to copy instead of move. So we've now taken a look at how site mailboxes help me with my everyday triage experience with messages. Now let's take a look at how they can help me with documents. So first off, here in the site mailbox, it's worth calling out again that I have easy access to all the documents that are related to this project. So next time someone asks me, hey, how's that deck coming along, would you mind running me through it? I simply pull up this node in Outlook, double-click on the document, and it opens right there. The next thing is that then sometimes people follow up and say, by the way, would you send me a link to that deck? I'd like to look through it, maybe give some feedback, or at least have it for reference. So I used to kind of joke with some of my colleagues about this taking a different number of steps for every person I knew, because everyone had a different way of getting the link to the document. It's become easier with SharePoint 2013 alone, but getting a link to a document in SharePoint has become even easier with SharePoint 2013 and Exchange 2013 with site mailboxes. I can just take any document that's interesting that I want to share the link to and right-click it and choose Forward. When I choose Forward, I get an email that has the name of the document and a link to open it. And so I can send this to Alphonse, I can send this to Miguel. Maybe I can't send it to Miguel. Probably made a typo. I apologize. But I'll send this to Alphonse and say, here's the document we discussed earlier today. I'll go ahead and send that. So that's great. That'll probably come in handy sometimes. But often, you actually want to share a number of documents. You may have even started to compose the message that you want to send before you realize that you need to share something. So how does that work? Well, let me send another email to Alphonse and say, here are the documents you should review. Maybe I want to make it a little bit stressful for Alphonse for no good reason. And then I can highlight all the documents that I think he should have access to or have the link to. I should say have the link to. This doesn't change anything about access. And you can see all I did was drag and drop it into the compose form, and now I have easy links that I can send on to Alphonse for each of those documents. Another thing that you can see here that makes it a little bit easier is, as part of Outlook, I actually still have access to categories. And so you can set up the categories for the site mailbox to mark things as needing input or please review. Other people can then see that in Outlook when they go to the site mailbox. One question we often get that I will answer in advance is, these categories are actually Exchange categories, and they are not synced at this point to SharePoint. So users will see them in Exchange. They won't see them in the SharePoint document library. Great. So we've taken a look at the basics of how site mailboxes appear in Outlook for users, how they help me triage, and the basic benefits that I get working with documents. I'll also show you one more time, since the first time didn't go as I hoped. I'll just open a different document. And I'm going to open it and go to the File tab. And this time, we should see that it's opened from the server. That read-only message from the server is a good sign. Here you can see that the path shows that it's coming from the team site itself. Great. Oh, yes, a question. Could you clarify what you mean by that? So the question was, can messages be moved from one site mailbox to another, and can documents be moved from one site mailbox to another? The answer is messages can be moved. Messages can be dragged and dropped from one site mailbox to one site mailbox to another. Documents cannot. There are a lot of complications and user experience concerns around the experience of dragging and dropping documents from one site mailbox to another. In particular, the behavior that might allow users to accidentally delete a document from one site mailbox was something that we were concerned about as we looked at the user experience. So the documents themselves cannot be moved, even though the messages can. Yes, another question over here. Yes. Great question. So the question was, if I delete a document from the document library, does that affect just me and what I see, or does that affect everyone who looks at that site mailbox? And all of the content in the site mailbox is essentially a shared view. So if you delete any of the messages, those will disappear. When you add a document, everyone will see it, and similarly, when you delete a document, it will be deleted for everyone. Another follow-up question on that answer, it seems, and then we have one over here. Yes, go ahead. So you have predicted an example that I will show later to answer your question now, which is, what happens, does Outlook reflect whether or not I have the ability to delete a document? The answer is Outlook does not reflect it immediately, but I'll show you what happens when you attempt to delete a document that you don't have the rights to delete. And I think there is one question right here.
Let's assume you get an email that uses some comments on your document you have in the site mailbox. Can you attach this email as a side-by-side note to that single document, or will it just simply say the email box? And how do you connect the two? So, this comment goes to that document.
Yes, that's an important question. At this time, the question was, trying to make sure I repeat them for the recording. The question was, if there's a document in my document library and I have conversations or a conversation that refers to that document, is there any way for me to ensure that this conversation can point to that document? Currently, there's not. We looked at some of the behavior around if a message comes in with an attachment, for example, automatically moving the attachment into the documents folder and somehow showing that relation. In the end, we decided not to do anything special there. So there is nothing automatic happening when an email with an attachment comes in. And at present, there also isn't a way to indicate that this message refers to that document other than simply providing the link to that document. So aside from that, we don't do anything special because we found that it was difficult to arrive at a user experience that users found intuitive and easy to understand. Great. Thanks for the questions so far. Keep them coming. And in the meantime, let's take a look now that we've seen a little bit about the basic functionality. Let's take a quick look at how it all kind of ties together. This may be kind of familiar information at this point, but I think it's helpful to see a visual. So with site mailboxes, users get a view of all of the project content with either Outlook or SharePoint, and they can choose which one they want to use. Now, the site mailbox has members that are associated with it, and really a list of members and a list of owners who have the ability to see the contents and see the site mailbox in Outlook. And the site mailbox also has some shared storage. So that includes the Exchange mailbox and the SharePoint site. Finally, the site mailbox has some management settings that control the behavior of the site mailbox, including a provisioning policy that controls the size of the site mailbox and also whether the site mailbox email address is created with a prefix, and also the lifecycle policy that I mentioned earlier and that we're soon going to see. So that's a basic overview of the key concepts around site mailboxes and how to think about them. Great. So in the meantime, we can drill in a little bit further into how Outlook is behaving when we see the site mailboxes in Outlook. Now, to use the site mailboxes, you need Outlook 2013 Pro Plus, and the user has to be listed in the default owners group or default members group of the site individually. So that means you can't use a security group or a distribution group to control the membership of the site. The other thing that's important to keep in mind is that the user won't see the site mailbox unless in their Outlook, unless their personal mailbox is on Exchange 2013. Now, we saw that the site mailboxes contain an inbox, and we saw examples where it contained one folder called Documents. Actually, the site mailbox can contain any number of document libraries, and it will automatically sync each of the document libraries that appear in the left-hand navigation on the site. I'll show you that in a minute, actually, and you'll see that users can easily choose what shows in the left-hand navigation of the site. But if you have a document library and you choose to include it in the quick launch left-hand navigation, then it will also sync to Outlook. So that's what shows up in Outlook and how you know whether users will get it in Outlook. Next is, what documents are actually synced into the site mailbox? And it looks like before that we have a question. The question is, are tasks and calendars shown anywhere within the site mailbox's experience? And the tasks and calendars are not shown in Outlook 2013 as part of site mailbox's work. It's not something that we were able to fit into the 2013 release. So this slide covers how or which content is actually synced into the site mailboxes. And the particular thing that I want to reiterate is that only the document metadata is synced into Outlook and Exchange. So the list of documents that you see here on the right actually is just a list of links, essentially, that Exchange and Outlook have that allow them to easily refer to the documents. And in particular, this my bullet reminds me to call out that that is what allows us to get the benefits of co-authoring and collaboration on against the SharePoint server. The other thing about document sync that we should keep in mind is that there is a sync that happens immediately after creation of the site mailbox. There's also a sync that happens periodically every 6 hours or so. But the majority of the document syncing and the membership syncing is usage-based. So if at least one person has the site mailbox open in their Outlook, then it will get synced every 15 minutes. Otherwise, if actually more activity is going on, then the documents and members might actually get synced even more often than that. But at least every 15 minutes if one or more users have it in their Outlook. So I keep alluding to this statement that Outlook and Exchange only have essentially links to these documents. So what's happening? Let's take a closer look. When the user double-clicks on one of the documents that they see in Outlook, Outlook will actually pass the URL of that doc either to the browser, if it's not an Office document, or, in the case that it is an Office document, to the appropriate Office client. The Office document cache, which is built into those clients, will then make the check to see whether it needs to open it against the server or alternatively open it against an offline copy on the user's device. It makes that decision automatically, and the document is opened in the client, and the client actually has no idea that the document was opened from somewhere other than the SharePoint site. So from the user's perspective and from the client's perspective, everything is just as if the user went to that SharePoint site and opened the document from there. So this takes us back to the design principles where, one, Exchange and Outlook store only the links and metadata about the document. The metadata that I keep referring to refers to the name of the document, the person who last modified it, the last modified date, and the file size. And the other point that we like to make here is that the Office document cache automatically does the right thing so that even when users are not connected, they will get appropriate access to the documents. And one of the things that I will show you now, in fact, we'll switch over. Sorry. My timeout time isn't long enough. Is the answer to another question that we often get, which is, can I get offline access to these documents? What if I'm on a plane and I want offline access to the documents? Well, we haven't done anything specific for site mailboxes, but as part of SharePoint 2013, there's this new sync feature for a site. Sometimes people refer to it as SkyDrive Pro. I refer to it as sync because that's the name of the button on the site. But if I click on this button for this document library, it actually will very easily bring up a menu where I can, oops, if I don't accidentally hide it, where I can then choose to automatically have these documents downloaded to my device. When I choose sync now, it's going to keep these in sync every time I have a connection, and that means that the documents will be there, ready for me to access if I hop on a plane back to Redmond. So, no. So the question was, is Outlook aware of which documents you've synced to your local device? And the answer is no. Outlook doesn't care which documents are synced to your local device. It's only the Office document cache that cares as it gets the URL passed to the client and makes the decision about which source to use for opening the document. Great. So the next slide actually says that we're going to a demo. So I'm just going to stick over here. And the demo that I'm going to show is what it looks like to create a site mailbox for end users. So in SharePoint 2013, there's a sites menu in the top nav. You can see that here. And end users have access to this sites menu. With a feature for self-service site creation available to end users, I can actually go into this Sites tab, and I can simply click on New Site. And here I can give the site a name. Let's say TechEd Europe Project. And we'll see that it also gives me the choice to choose a lifecycle policy. If I have a dropdown, I can choose from among the available policies, and if it has a description associated with it, that description shows beneath it. So I'll go ahead and choose this one, and I'm going to go ahead and create this site. So I went to the Sites tab, I clicked on New Site, I gave it a name, and I clicked Create. When the site shows up, we'll see that I get a nice new site experience, and at the top, there's a carousel of blue tiles that help me get started with my site. One of the carousel items will say, keep email in context. And now we see it at the right-hand side. So this keep email in context tile allows me to quickly get to the page where I can add the Site Mailbox app to the site. If I add the Site Mailbox app to the site and then run it, this will actually create a Site Mailbox for this site. So right now I've added the app. Nothing has been created yet. When I go ahead and click on the app to run it for the first time, we now go through the provisioning process. So I created a site, I'm adding the app, and I'm running the app. And that's how I create my site mailbox that's connected to the site. So it usually takes a minute or so, and often we find that even after it's created, it takes a minute or two, or up to 30 even, to replicate across 80 servers. But if we're lucky, it will be ready in a minute, and I can show you what the brand new experience is like out of the box. If not, I'll use an existing site mailbox to show you the equivalent. So this is what happens after it's gone through the provisioning process. It's actually redirected us to Exchange, and Exchange behind the scenes has created a site mailbox. Site mailbox has now been created. I can go back to the SharePoint site. And you may notice that there's a new mailbox link on the left-hand side. And again, this is that left-hand navigation that I called the quick nav. So it now has this mailbox link. If I want to, just to show you how easy this is in SharePoint 2013, I can actually just drag and drop the mailbox link up here, get rid of the recent column, and I can save the mailbox link. I probably should have done a better job of indenting it properly, but I think you'll see the idea. If I click on the mailbox link, and we're lucky and replication is completed, then we will actually see the OWA experience that's part of the SharePoint site. So the very first time someone uses it, they set the locale for the site mailbox. And we can now see the mail as part of the site mailbox. So the very first message to get sent to the site mailbox is always the welcome message that explains a little bit about the site mailbox and how to get back to it. Users can forward this or keep it forwarded to themselves to keep as a reference. Now people can also send mail to this, and it would show up here just as it would show up in Outlook. This is also something that's valuable for our users who are down-level client users. So anyone who doesn't yet have Outlook 2013 Pro Plus, either because not everyone has been upgraded or because they're on a device that doesn't yet have it, maybe it's a personal device, they can go to the SharePoint site, click on that mailbox link, and see all the mail using this OWA web part view of the mail. So we've basically, by creating a site, adding the site mailbox app, and running it, we've created our site and site mailbox. There's actually an easier experience that we can offer to users as well. If you noticed, I had to go to my SharePoint site and go to the Sites tab where I created a site. But with a simple configuration key using a PowerShell command, that you can actually specify a URL to land users on for site creation. And even you can customize that custom site creation template to automatically install site mailboxes. In this environment, when I right-click on my primary mailbox and choose Create Site Mailbox, it's actually going to take me to a page where I can create the site, and then again I will have to go in and add the site mailbox and run it for the first time. But it's a subtle difference, but you can imagine that not having to leave your Outlook environment, if you're one of the companies where 80% or more of your time is in Outlook, not having to leave the Outlook environment to create a site mailbox or to find the entry point to create a site mailbox is pretty valuable. No longer will you have to fish around and look for it. So again, I won't go through this a second time, but you can see I just have to give it a name. I can choose a policy, create the site, and add the app and run it. And that will result in the site having a site mailbox. There's a third option, and you can also use PowerShell commandlets as part of a central provisioning tool that your organization may have. We find that law firms, for example, have central provisioning tools that have very strict rules that they need to follow around enforcing separation of lawyers who may have ethical conflicts working on a case so that they can't both work on the same case. So they could use the PowerShell commandlets to automatically provision a site and automatically provision the site mailbox when they create a matter for new cases. That option is available as well, so that users may not even have to create their own sites and site mailboxes if you have that integrated as part of a central provisioning tool where the case gets created automatically. So we've now taken a look at the end user experience for creating a site and site mailbox. Next, we'll take a look at the admin controls that surround that. The first admin control that we're going to take a look at is actually the ability to turn on or off the requirement to select a policy as we see here. So I can turn the policy drop-down picker completely off. Users won't see it at all. I can make it optional so that users have the option to choose something but aren't required to, or I can make it required, which is what we see here, where I wouldn't be able to move on without selecting something. So if I'm an admin in SharePoint, I can simply go to my SharePoint admin UI, click on Settings, And if I scroll down to the bottom, we see this start a site section. So the start a site section is part of that feature in SharePoint that shows the plus and the new button that allows users to create their own sites. And as part of that, I have this drop-down that says site classification is either hidden from users, an optional choice, or a required choice. And by making this a required choice, I enforce that all sites that are created using this mechanism must have a lifecycle policy associated with them. So I'm going to go ahead and save this. And now we'll take a look at what a lifecycle policy looks like. So if I happen to go, let's go back. Excuse me if I'm losing you a little bit. All I've done here is use the navigation to go back to one of the team sites that I was working with. Yes, there's a question. So the setting that, great question, the question was the setting that I just changed to make it a required field to choose a policy, was that a site collection setting or a global SharePoint setting? The setting that I just changed was a global SharePoint setting to make sure that the policy selection is required. The setting that I'm about to show you, which is where you create the lifecycle policies, is specific to site collections, and that will be a site collection setting. And so we'll actually see that now. So I've gone back to a team site. I'm going to go to the gear at the top and choose site settings. So this is just one of the team sites. I happen to be an admin, so I'm able to change some of these site collection settings that we'll see. So I have this link to go to the top level site settings because this is just a team site. And this takes me to the site settings for the site collection. And because it's the site collection, I get a whole bunch of site collection specific settings. And in particular, the one that I'm looking for is site policies. So right now we're taking a look at the existing site policies that we've created for this site collection. I can easily create a new one. I can give it a name. I would normally give it a better description because this will be shown, as you may have seen, to users when they choose it from the dropdown. But for the sake of time, I'll give it a pretty bad description. And you can choose here whether the lifecycle policy controls just the deletion and enforces automatic deletion of the site, or whether it enforces both closure of the site and deletion of the site. Whatever action it enforces against the site will also be enforced against the site mailbox. So the project is governed by this lifecycle policy for the project as a whole. Let me go ahead and choose to delete the sites automatically. And you can see that I have a few different options to configure when the site gets deleted. Do I want it to go from the creation date or from the close date? Do I want to send notifications to users when the deletion is approaching? Do I want them to be able to actually, if you see on the bottom, postpone the deletion so that they can extend the lifetime of the site and site mailbox for a certain period of time? And I even have the ability to choose how long I want them to be able to extend it. So these are the powerful tools that allow me to make sure that things are used in my organization, and if not, they expire. And I can give users the opportunity to actually renew them if they're continuing to use them, but they'll go away if they have this type of policy and no one reactivates it. So let me go ahead and press OK. So you can see here that it's reflected in the list of policies. And if I go back to the end user sites page and I click on new site, we should now see that our TechEd Europe policy is actually showing up for users among the options that they have to choose from. Great. So let's switch back over to the slides. To try to lighten things up a little bit, I do have this message that trying this at home may improve your understanding. Once again, it's actually pretty fun to get to see these things that you read about actually work. I've tried it with a bunch of the other features around Exchange and SharePoint. So I'll show all of these because we just talked about them. But these are kind of the levels of provisioning experiences that you can offer. Out of the box, users simply have to create a site, add the Site Mailbox app, and run it. The second option you see is that you can enable creation from Outlook so that they don't even have to leave their Outlook experience. They can use that menu item to create to get to the site creation UI directly from Outlook. Again, either automatically or the user should add the Site Mailbox app and then run the Site Mailbox app. And then, finally, as I mentioned, there's a ability to do it as part of your business process. If you have centralized tools, you can use the PowerShell commandlets, both in SharePoint and Exchange, to create the Site Mailbox and the site as part of that tool. So to give a little bit more detail about the Site Mailbox lifecycle policy, it's something that controls the lifecycle of the entire project. We don't have anything that allows you to control the lifecycle of individual items within the mailbox or within the SharePoint site itself. So for example, one other common question we get is, can I use MRM, or message records management, against site mailboxes? And the answer to that is no, you can't. The retention of the site and site mailbox happens as a whole at the project level. The other thing that I do just want to reinforce is that the SharePoint, anything that happens to the SharePoint site will also happen to the site mailbox. So for example, if the site is deleted through policy, then the site mailbox will be deleted as a result. If a user manually deletes the SharePoint site, then the site mailbox will also be deleted as a result. And the one other thing that I'll sneak in this slide is that you may have seen a few references to the state called closure. So a site mailbox starts out active after it's created, and there's this interim state called closure where either the policy or the user can close the site. And essentially at that point, it's somewhat of an in-place archive. Once it's closed, the user can no longer get to it in their Outlook. It's kind of a signal that it's transitioned into the closed state. But users can still get to the content through SharePoint and through the Site Mailbox app on the SharePoint site. After that, the Site Mailbox and the site can then go into the deletion state. And essentially at that point, it's hidden from the user. If you are on-prem, you may have to do some cleanup to actually ensure that you want to remove those resources from your remove those mailboxes. If you're in the service, we actually take care of that for you. Great. So I included, I know this is the end of the talk and maybe starts to get a little bit dry, so I included a Zig Ziglar quote. For those of you who don't know him, he is a motivational speaker. And the reason I included this quote, failure is a detour, not a dead-end street, is in this section I'm actually going to set myself up for failure, in particular because we want things to fail so we can see what happens to end users and what the experience is when things don't go as planned. Whoops. Jumped again. Man. You're all going to know exactly how many characters my password is by the end of the demo. Apologize for that. Great. Okay. So, one question that I'd like to show the answer to is, what happens if I upload a document that already exists in the document library? So here we have this Q3 analytics raw data. You can see that it's already in this documents folder. Let me actually even scroll down so I can show the documents folder that's selected. I'm going to take this document with the same name and file type, and I'm going to drag and drop it into the documents folder. Note that I could drop it in here. I can also drop it in here. It's the same thing. This time I'll drop it in there for good measure. And you can see that it goes through this pending upload state because Outlook doesn't know whether or not SharePoint will accept the upload. It doesn't know the logic of SharePoint, for example, that it won't permit two files to have the same file name. So it will be in this pending state, and you actually see that it just disappeared. And so it's actually not an ideal experience because the user probably kind of sets it and forgets it. They may drag and drop it in and then assume that it's there, and then it just disappears. So what we've done is, in this case, we actually send the user an NDR. So if I go back to my inbox, I see this NDR that explains to me that it failed to upload. There's probably a little bit more technical information than end users want to see, but they could always pass this on to their administrator. I see some nods about the more info than end users want to see. I agree. But at the very least, the most important thing is that it actually has the document, the copy of the document that they attempted to upload. And we think that's really important because we want to make sure that users trust the site mailboxes and know that at the very least they still have access to that content that they tried to drop into the site mailbox. One other thing that I'll try to show you the experience is this should be the message that we took from my inbox, put it in the document library, and actually made it a record. And as part of being a record, I actually can't delete it. So what happens if I try to delete it from Outlook? And this goes back to the question that we got earlier. So I'm going to actually attempt to delete it. Outlook is going to remind me, are you sure this will actually delete the item from SharePoint as well? I'm going to go ahead and say yes. And again, you see this experience where Outlook doesn't really know any better. It's going to assume that the operation is going to work, and it will actually disappear from the site mailbox. But when it fails, we'll again send the user an NDR to their inbox so that they know that the operation that they tried to do failed, so that they have some indication that that document actually still exists in the site. And if they really need it to be deleted, they have to try again or try to understand why. Maybe try from the SharePoint site. In this case, you will see that the too much information that we have for the end user, if the user can actually get to the point where they where it states it, actually does state why the document can't be deleted. So again, the user, him or herself, may not actually be able to understand this information, but if they're working with the help desk, then this information will help them to understand. Yes, we have a question here. So the question was, is all of this site mailbox integration available in the RT integration? I guess it's available for preview now. I haven't had a chance to take a look at it myself. My belief is that it is not in the RT version of Outlook that's coming out with 8.1. But I encourage you to try 8.1 and confirm whether or not I've got that accurately. Great. So we've seen that, at the very least, in some of these cases where the user may be disappointed that the action failed for some reason, the user is informed, and in the case of upload, we make sure that they still have their document. The one other thing that we do for users, for power users essentially, or for admins or help desks that are helping out, is we do have a sync issues folder where all of the issues that are encountered are actually represented. So we still have the upload sync issue, we have the failed to delete sync issue, and if membership failed for an membership sync or document sync kept failing for an extended period of time, we would actually see a sync issue here for that as well that would have a little bit of diagnostic information. But that's actually not all that the user has at their disposal. I can really do this on any site mailbox, so it doesn't make sense for me to scroll up and down. I can actually right-click on a site mailbox of my choosing, and I can go to the menu item Site Mailbox Properties. And this is actually going to open a page that will let me view a bunch of the information about the site mailbox. So on this page, I see the basics about the site mailbox. This is valuable if I wanted to quickly send an email to the site mailbox but had forgotten the email address, or I wanted to copy and paste it to someone, or if I wanted to quickly get to the SharePoint site. But the next two tabs are probably more useful. The Users tab actually shows which users Exchange has represented as belonging to the site mailbox. So these are all of the individuals that are in the owners list and the members list on the SharePoint site. That means these are the people who, as long as their mailboxes are on Exchange 2013, and as long as they have Outlook 2013 Pro Plus, these are the people who are going to see it in their site mailbox. This is really valuable in a case where you may share the site and site mailbox with someone and expect them to see it, but not know yet if they've synced. With that, I actually realized that there's a gaping error, if you will, in the demo that I showed during creation, and I'll take a quick step back. So the mistake that I made is I forgot to actually show, after you create the site, how do you get it to other people? How do you share the site and the site mailbox with other people? So let me quickly show that. If I go back to the TechEd Europe project that we created, here's the site. And either after I created it or after I had installed and run the site mailbox app, at any time I can click this share button. And so essentially, as long as I invite people to the edit, or if I choose people that people can have full control, this gives them access to the site mailbox. So this basically, if the user does nothing, it puts them in the members group for the site, which is most likely what we see. If the user wants to, they can make them an owner if they want them to have some controls over the site itself. And I can now say Alphonse should be a member of this site. And now that I've done that, Alphonse will actually get an email saying I've shared this site with him. And on the next document and membership sync of the site mailbox, the site mailbox will actually reflect that Alphonse is a member. And then the next time that his Outlook does auto-discover against his Exchange server, it will actually cause the new site mailbox to show up in his navigation pane. So I apologize for skipping that earlier. I didn't intend to skip it. We do have a question over here. I didn't hear all of that. Was the question, can we use Active Directory to push distribution groups into the group?
Yes.
So the answer to the question of can you use distribution groups with site mailboxes is no. At this point, only users who are individually listed in that in the permissions as the owners group or members group will be able to see the site mailbox in their Outlook 2013 Pro Plus. Actually, anyone who has access, write access or above, to the SharePoint site itself will be able to see the site mailbox through SharePoint. It's only that we basically don't want to flood people's Outlook experiences when some large security group or distribution group is part of the site and site mailbox. Then thousands of people may suddenly get a site mailbox in their Outlook. And essentially that's the situation we're avoiding. So to state that more clearly, I apologize. The distribution groups and security groups cannot be used to manage who gets access to the site mailboxes in Outlook. Anyone who has write access or above to the SharePoint site will be able to access everything on the SharePoint site, including documents and mail. Does that answer your question? So I think the question was about inheritance. Sorry, I didn't hear all of it. Oops. We can follow up a little bit more after that if you have more questions. The SharePoint site would continue to inherit, and anyone who does have access to the SharePoint site, at least write access or above, would be able to see both the documents and the mail in the site mailbox app on the SharePoint site. However, they won't see it in their Outlook unless they're individually listed on the site in the permissions. So let me quickly, Oh, thank you. Oh, no. Thanks, whoever mentioned that. Caps lock is a tricky one, especially during demos. So while this is logging me back in, we'll show, just to give you an idea of what's in the rest of the deck, we'll finish showing the end user diagnostics. We're nearly done with that. Then we'll talk about a little bit of the kind of administrator information that would be helpful to know. I've actually gone in and included some of the slides that we include in some of our 300 talks at some conferences in the appendix. There are maybe 3 or 4 slides that I thought would be valuable. So when the deck's available, you're welcome to look through those. Again, if you have questions, I'll stick around afterwards, and I will also be present from 4 o'clock to 5:30 tomorrow at the Tech Expo area. So let me reorient us one more time. I had basically gone to a site mailbox in my Outlook. I had right-clicked on a site mailbox, and I had gone to site mailbox properties. That brought me to this page where I could see the details of the site mailbox, the users of the site mailbox, and now I'll go to the last tab, which is the sync status of the site mailbox. So I can actually see when the last time that the document sync was attempted and when the last time that the membership sync was attempted, and I'll be able to see whether or not they were successful. In addition, I can kick off a sync. If I just added Alphonse and he really needs it right away, I can come here and click Start Sync, and he should see it within a minute or so. Or at least he should see it within a minute or so if he cycles Outlook so that AutoDiscover runs. And I can also click on Email Me Details. So by clicking on Email Me Details, I've actually just caused an email to be sent to myself with the latest diagnostic information. And again, it's not something that I as an end user am going to understand, but it's something that I can easily pass on to the help desk if I am having problems and want to understand more. You can see that it's got a bunch of information that's very densely packed. So that's actually a basic look at the end user diagnostics that are available. You can see that we take care to make sure that users don't lose data. We take care to make sure that they understand what's happening when Outlook has behavior that we believe is different from their expectations. And we also have UI that users can use to understand the current state of the site mailbox if it's behaving unexpectedly. I'm going to skip this slide for the sake of time. This is just a slide that covers some of the common things that we've seen internally as common problems, possible causes, and system behaviors that will help you confirm that that's the likely cause. And there's also this reference slide about the commandlets that are available for site mailboxes. The top commandlets are things that will help you set up provisioning, including the set organization config commandlet, which is what the only step that you need in order to enable that creation of site mailboxes from Outlook. The second set is the test OAuth commandlets, which you'll only need to know if you plan on setting this up on-premise. There are slides in the appendix that have more information about the requirements for setting this up on-premise. And the next two sections are diagnostics commandlets, and the last one is the commandlet that you'll use on-premise to find the site mailboxes that have been marked for deletion by the SharePoint site and to clean those up. Again, if you have questions about these, I will be outside. This is really, I think, the last slide that I want to cover. And the first section is the version requirements. I've alluded to these throughout the talk, but site mailboxes require Exchange 2013 and SharePoint 2013. And if you want users to see them in Outlook, they need Outlook 2013 Pro Plus. The next topic is actually the cross-premise organization, or excuse me, implementation of site mailboxes. So SharePoint site and the Exchange site mailbox must be on the same premise. So if the SharePoint site is in the cloud, the Exchange site mailbox must be also in the cloud. But users, on the other hand, do not have to be in the same premise as the site and site mailbox. So if your site and site mailbox are in the cloud, users can be in the cloud, or they can be on-premise, or a mix of both. finally, for those of you who are interested in the kind of fine-tuning of advanced controls for the admins, as part of on-prem setup, the SharePoint farm will need to be mapped with an Exchange forest. So as part of provisioning, which happens from SharePoint, SharePoint has to know which forest to target for the site mailbox provisioning. And multiple SharePoint farms can target a single forest. That's not a problem. There just needs to be some connection so that the SharePoint farm knows where to provision. Finally, you have some fine-grained control against RBAC, for who gets to create site mailboxes. And by default, all users get to do that. But you do have some ability to change that if you need to. Lastly, there's the site mailbox provisioning policy, which allows you to set the quota size for site mailboxes when they're created, and also to determine whether or not the email address will have a prefix and what that prefix should be when it's created. Let me just quickly mention, I promise I'll answer your question either here or afterwards. There are some site mailbox resources that should be very valuable. There's some related talks, and workshops and labs that are worth checking out. I can show you more later. And you've probably seen that, so I'm going to skip over that. The one thing I will ask is, it's super valuable for us to get your feedback. You can also win some stuff. This happens to be my first TechEd presentation, though I've had the good fortune to do a number of other conferences and present there. But I would love any constructive feedback you can provide about whether this was the right set of information, whether it helped you meet your goals, and what we can do going forward to help present as well as we can. So thank you very much for all your questions. I will stick around. As a courtesy to the next speaker, I'll move out into the hallway, but happy to answer questions as long as we have anyone waiting around. So thank you very much.